yeah. Speaking of that, did anybody make sure that Mark Cope got the news? Okay. All right. Take your Bibles this evening to Romans chapter 8. Continuing on studies of prayer. Yeah, last week, kind of mixed in with the singspiration, we were reminded that when we get before the Lord, our prayers are what becomes the new song. That's he takes the prayers of the saints and gives us a new song. And that's what Pastor is singing right now. But we're still praying. And we need to continue to study how to pray. We need to continue to understand how to pray. And I'll have to tell you right now, I'll probably be choppy this evening. Just, it's going to be. Developing this in my mind, and then it struck me that pastor's not listening in person. And you know, I've said this before, the grace that this church has in allowing me to still preach, you guys hear past my flubs and word switches and all those things that I don't even realize I'm doing. And the ever since, you know, getting back on my feet, pastor's kind of been the one to, if it was too big of a flub, he tapped me on the shoulder and said, "By the way, you said that." Oops. he won't be the one saying that anymore. And I appreciate when anybody else does too. But it just struck me. But I was already thinking along these lines. It's one of the main topics. While we study prayer, and it was something that I was getting to anyway. I don't have a particular order on the topics of prayer. Just I jot down notes as they come to me and kind of make an order out of that. But one of the most common questions that we have about prayer is when we're asking something and we don't get it, or when we're asking something but we're trying to understand what God's will is, because we really want to ask within God's will, and you're praying, "Lord, I see this need, I think this way, I feel this way, so I'm going to pray this way, but I'm also trying to figure out if this is what you want me to pray." So they're kind of two sides to the same coin, and we'll probably look at both sides more specifically at a later point, but I just want to take the general idea this evening and briefly look at it. When we're praying, do we understand or do we have trouble understanding about prayer, about what we're talking about with God? So I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 8, if you're not already there. Beginning in verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose," the called. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can gather this evening as justified before you by your precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you that Pastor Bond is gathered unto you in the glorified body. And thank you that we have the assurance one day we will be before you like him, and we will see you as you are. We praise you for that. Lord, this evening as we look to your word, we thank you also that when we don't know how to pray or we don't understand how we ought to pray, you've promised that the Spirit is with us and searches our hearts, knowing your full will. Help us to get a little more glimpse of that this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. When we have questions about prayer, this is the most basic promise that we should. If you don't have this verse memorized, you ought to. It will help you in so much understanding of your Christian walk. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, this passage doesn't make us robots, okay? It doesn't mean that we're just going to do our own little thing, but God's going to come and take control and make us do whatever his will is. This passage is really, in its most basic form, assurance that God's going to help us pray. When, you know, and I'm kind of big on this, and so I'm going to hit it again. Prayer, real, honest prayer with God, is a conversation. Okay? So in this topic, like the others, I want to equate it with a conversation, because we understand talking face to face more than we understand talking with God. And that's how we learn how to talk to God honestly, openly, without ceasing. All those things is when we start equating it with the friendships he gave us down here, only it's a much greater friendship. But think, if you will, of a time when you've got something heavy on your heart, something you're trying to figure out, or something you're trying to figure out how to say to someone. And you go see that person. You say, hey, let's get a coffee. Or maybe not. Maybe just sit there. And you sit there. And you sit there. And you know what you got to say, or what you feel like you got to say. But you don't know if it's the right time. You don't know if it's the right place. You're having second doubts whether it's the right thing. You know what I'm talking about? So, now equate that with your prayer time. You're coming to God. There's something really heavy on your mind, and you don't really know if that's what you should be talking to God about. You don't really know if, I mean, yeah, you this is what you want to pray, but you also know that God's will is what's needed here and is what you want, what God wants, and you know that you want what God wants more than what you want, but you know what I'm saying. So that's where this passage comes in. Kids, you need to memorize it. That the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. There's lots of times where, and sometimes where we are absolutely and totally convinced that this is what we ought to pray for, and God does something in our lives, and we keep blundering on and wondering why God's not answering our prayer. And God says, back there a ways, I answered the prayer the way it was supposed to be. And it takes us a while to figure it out. Sometimes we're not doing as we ought. But the Spirit, God's Spirit, the Comforter, Christ in you, is praying for you all the time. He's not just praying for you. He's not just coming before the Father and saying, Oh, my child down here, or the man, they need help. Oh, man, they're messed up. God doesn't say that. You see, he prays. You see, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God, and this passage is one of those passages that really talk about the triunity of God. You see that the Spirit is doing what we see the Bible describe as Christ in us. Okay, and you see that God, the Father, and the Spirit are kind of interchangeable in the passage. So you see the whole Trinity working here. That's a bit of a side note, but in other words, no part of the Trinity talks to any other part of the Trinity and says, you have one dumb kid down there and they're really messing stuff up. Why don't you go straighten them out? God never says that about you. He never says that about me. He prays for us according to the will of the Father and the mind of Christ. Think about that. I mean, that's amazing all in itself. But we, as it says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes we pray for someone to be healed. Sometimes they're healed, sometimes they're not. Sometimes we pray for a specific blessing. Sometimes we receive it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're praying for direction. Sometimes it is as clear as day. I mean, it's as if it was on a billboard in front of you. And sometimes you might as well be, you know, in deep water in an endless tunnel. You know, it's absolutely dark and no way out is what it feels like. We know we don't always understand why our prayers aren't quite the way we, or the results of our prayers aren't quite the way we think, or how we should pray to be understanding of God's will. And that's where this comes down to. If we want to breach that wall, if you will, it comes down to this: understanding the will of God. We need to pray with understanding. If you'll turn to Ephesians 5 and verse 17, I realize this is not necessarily about prayer, but we looked at this a few weeks ago in context. Verse 17 of Ephesians 5, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. There's a basis of wisdom, and wisdom all through the Scripture is tied with prayer. You want to be wise? Talk to God about it. And here it says, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And isn't that what we really want with prayer? And that's what Romans 8 is talking about. When we don't understand how we should pray, but the Spirit answers according to the will of God, because He knows the will of God. So, for us to have understanding, we need to know the will of God. So, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the first step that we can, the first question, if you will, that we can ask ourselves when we're wondering if we're asking things according to God's will? I think it's in this passage. You back up one verse. Remember, context is important. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're in an evil time. That's easy to figure out. But redeeming the time because the days are evil, wherefore? Because of this, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. First step, understanding God's will, is remember God's sense of time. Think about that. Remember God's sense of time. Say, oh Lord, I need this to happen within this amount of time, or I need this thing to continue for that amount of time, or I need all these things to happen at the same time for this other thing. God is not on any clock. God's outside of time. And He's got it all perfectly laid out. As we continued in the passage of Romans 8, all things work together for good to them that are the called. God's sense of time is not yours and mine. So when we're praying for something within a time block, that we've got a clock on it, whatever version of that clock it might be, remember, God's not on your clock. And if you ask for something that's on a clock, and it's not wrong to ask for something on a clock. Really, there's times in the Bible where it talks about asking on a clock. Because God understands that we're in time for this time. And God has things for us to do in a set time that we have on this earth. So there's nothing wrong with asking for things on a clock. It's not what we're talking about here. But when you do ask for something on a clock, and that alarm goes off and nothing happened, and you get all depressed and dejected and begin to doubt and say, man, I just don't know. Maybe I'm not even saved. Man, I must be in some horrible sin because God didn't listen to me. No. The first thing you need to remember is God's not on your clock. You're on His. Remember, God's sense of time is not yours. Turn to Romans chapter 12. And here we could preach a long time on God's sense of time. But you know the passages. We're just looking at some basic things to remember here. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The second thing you need to remember is that God's work, God's will, His primary will in your life is that you be continually renewed. And maybe He didn't answer your prayer because you're asking for something in the same old rut that you've been in. And He doesn't want you in that rut. He wants you out on some new smooth pavement. maybe He didn't answer it because you're looking at things from your past, trying to apply them to your future. And Paul said that forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward. God's way is renewal. And if sometimes we need to step back and realize that what we're asking for is not for God to give us any growth, but for God to keep us comfortable right where we're at. So if God doesn't answer a prayer the way you think, or you're asking the prayer still, there's no answer yet, you're just trying to figure out how to ask, remember, God's time is not yours. And does it renew? Is it something that lends towards renewal in your life? Romans chapter 8 says, God searching your heart and praying for you according to the will of God. Romans 12:2 says that the Spirit renewing you is a major part of the will of God. So ask yourself these questions. Is it in accordance with God's sense of time? Is it in accordance with renewal? Will I grow through it? Will it bring me or someone else closer to God? than Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Is your prayer one of trust? Is your prayer one of trust? Or is it your own understanding? God, if you do it my way, it'll all work out for sure. I mean, I got this figured out. God, you just got to do this and this and this and this, and we got it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not 90%. Definitely not 50%. All thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Notice, I always, now, you know me, I pick up on little words sometimes. But have you ever noticed that it doesn't say lean not on thine own understanding? It says lean not unto thine own understanding. You haven't even got there yet. You know, so this is on. This is unto. Ah! You know, that. Yeah, this is the way, God. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Remember God's leadership. When you're asking something, or you're asking why God didn't give you something, think for a moment. Did you allow God to lead you in that situation? Or are you allowing for God's leadership? Or are you wanting God to follow you? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. One of the times that we have trouble with our prayers is when we're in temptation, isn't it? Now, it might be we feel like we can't get through to God because, oh man, I just failed, and I don't know if I'm repenting the right way. I repented I don't know how many times now, and I'm still failing. Or maybe we're in the middle of temptation or a hard trial, and we're praying, Lord, give me a way out. So just give me a way out. The Bible says there's a way out. Give me a way out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I've heard a lot of preaching on this passage. But you know what I haven't heard very much of in all those messages? A couple times, yes. But the very simple, simple answer that the way out is obedience. Every time. You see, that when we get to this place and we're looking for a way out of that temptation, we're looking for a way out of that pitfall, or we're looking for a way out of that hard trial, and we just want God to fix the problem. We want to understand God's will. That, I mean, you know, maybe if God made me a missionary, I wouldn't have this person bothering me all the time. I mean, wouldn't that be great? I'd be on the mission field saving souls, and they'd be back here causing problems for somebody else. Maybe if God would just, bing, make me more focused on doing something for Him, then I'd be less focused on my own pitfalls. And we look for ways of escape like that. We're opening all the doors, peeking through all the windows, saying, "Where's this way of escape that God said?" But what we're doing is just like the Israelites. We got this crown. Let me put it on you, Jesus. I've got, come on, you're the Messiah right now. See, we kind of look for, to take this passage and look for escape the same way. Give me some grandiose escape plan where I can leave these things in the dust. But you study your scriptures. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Didn't he? You want to know eternal life? Search the scriptures. Therefore, if you want to know about eternal life, which if you're a believer, your eternal life starts the day you accept Jesus as your Savior. So if you want to know about your eternal life, search the scriptures. And one of the basic principles, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my words. Everybody said, commandments, that's great. But he said, after that, he said, keep my words. You know what he did by saying that? He took it beyond commandments. He took it to precepts. He took it to fatherly guidance. He took it to the counsel, a wise counselor. He took it to the consolation of a friend. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my words. It includes commandments, but it includes all of it. But it's not just, oh, Jesus, tell me something good to hear so I can get out of this. No. He said, keep. Now, we have his words. We know we have his words. But Jesus didn't say, if you love me, here, have some of my words. He said, if you love me, keep my words. You want to know why you can't find an answer to some trial or temptation in your life? Because the way of escape is obedience. The way of escape is obedience. There's something blocking your path. Ask him what it is you're supposed to be obeying. And he's a loving father. He's always willing to show you what to do to please him. He created you to please him. It pleases him to show you how to please him. He's not going to say, it's about time you figured it out. He's going to say, sure, here's your way of escape right here. And then he'll help you to bear it. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you don't know what God's will is, when you've got something in your mind to pray about, and you're burdened to pray about this thing, but let's say there's two options, and you really don't know which one God wants you to pray for. And we get hung up on this teeter-totter. Lord, you know, I can see how this would, this fits in your time outside of my time. But this way kind of has renewal. But this way, and I feel like I'm trusting you more if I pray for this way. But, you know, renewal and obedience. God, which way am I supposed to ask? Let me tell you something. I think in that situation, stop asking for that. Stop asking for that. Turn with me to Psalms 55 and verse 22. Stop asking on that topic. Not like totally forget about it, but stop making it priority. Psalm 55 and verse 22. The two things you need to switch to asking is for peace and wisdom. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. There's peace. You got this thing in the balance. You say, Lord, this is what I see. A couple good points here, a couple good points there, and I am confused. So here's all of it. Now, Lord, you've promised me peace. And start looking for peace. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And James 4 and verse 5 again. James 4 and verse 5. I can quote it, but I'm not going to try to quote anything this evening. Not 4 or 5. James chapter 1 verses 4 and 5. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Any of these things where you're trying to understand God's will, or somebody once said, when you're trying to understand God's won't, why won't he do that for me? Start asking for peace and wisdom. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. Let patience have her perfect work. That's the work of maturing you. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So maybe this evening you've got something in your heart. Maybe it's something that you've been thinking about the last few weeks. Maybe something that you just need to tuck away in your hat for later. But when you come before the Lord and you don't know what to ask, you don't know how to say what's on your heart, you don't know how to understand why God didn't do what you asked him to do, remember these things. God's sense of time is much greater than yours. God's desire is always to renew you. We're always being renewed or sanctified until we receive the glorified body. Examine whether you're truly trusting God's leadership, and examine if there's some area that you need to be obeying him in. And in that, ask him for peace and wisdom. And I guarantee you, if you follow those guidelines, you'll see a change in your prayer life. You'll find a communication and a friendship that you never knew before. Let's pray. Father, oh, that you would be willing to communicate with us. It's beyond comprehension. More than that, that you'd be willing to send your Son to die for us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would have a church that is mighty in prayer, that would take these things from your word and that we would begin to see mountains shake and lives of men be changed by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Derek.